What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Greens Point Studio. We took a little small hiatus, James and I did, but the podcast is back. There really wasn't much breaking news, you know, over the Thanksgiving break, except for the fact that I had 300 emails on Black Friday. So
kind of we're still keeping an eye on the tech news. Just no bits hit the fan.
No bits hitting like big fans, I guess.
The media outlets, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of little fan blades.
They're more concerned about what's happening on Black Friday than cyber news.
300 emails, though. That's pretty good.
Pretty overwhelming.
Did you have trouble with that?
How does even one get caught up? It's
a good question. Just delete them all and start over.
Start over.
Yeah, I did read that they saw an uptick, as expected, in phishing attacks during that little stretch. So it's interesting that the bad actors continue to go after low-hanging fruit. Everybody's out. Pound them with some phishing attacks and see who grasps.
You know, we just got an email, too, right, as we broke for Thanksgiving break from our CISO about watching out for attacks and it being just, you know, very prevalent. And just that all employees, we all matter at Center, right? Keeping Center protected. But that's a great segue. We have our first special guest episode. Anthony Leatherwood is joining us, our CISO at Center, for a full episode on just all things cybersecurity, what's up and coming, where he came from, his start, all of that. He's new to Center, but I'm excited for this episode.
Yeah, it's so fun to pick his brain on these topics. He lives it, has for 16 years lived this and seen it evolve quite a bit. So we'd really just deep dive into what is it he sees happening in the future now. Anthony, thank you so much for being here today.
Sure.
This podcast is it's been needing a guy like you for a long time. I think the audience is pretty tired of hearing from me, so I'm hoping that you'll just take the mic and sing for us.
Right. You don't want me to sing.
So, Anthony, you're new to Center, but you're not new to the security world. How'd you get into IT security?
I've been in IT security for probably the last 16 to 17 years. Started off as a Unix Linux system administrator. Mm-hmm. And this was at Dell up in Round Rock. At the time, a manager came to me. He was like, "Hey, I need a security guy. Security space is growing, right? So I want you to be the team lead for security, right?" So I didn't always start off in management. You know, essentially, I worked my way up from the technical aspects up to the management chain, up to CISO.
I would think that 16, 17 years ago, I'm picturing 2005, 2006 timeframe, when someone came to me and said, "I need someone for security," I would have thought physical security, like a bouncer. Right. Is that what you were thinking, or did you know what he meant?
I knew what he meant there.
Phishing attacks and ransomware?
That wasn't the major play, about two decades ago.
Sure.
The major play two decades ago was identity, right? Identity and access management. You know, making sure who has access to the system was authorized to access it. And if they weren't authorized to access, it was revoked.
That's a topic we talk about throughout today. But that's an enterprise grade tool back then, mm-hmm. that most, I think, the SMB at mid market space don't even know is readily accessible and at their fingertips, even through their 365 tenant.
Oh yeah. You know, definitely. You look at Azure, you look at 365. You know, they have their own solutions when it comes to SMBs, and SMBs can leverage. I'll tell you what, Microsoft is. Yeah, they've done a pretty good job on entry level for SMBs into the IT space and the security space.
Yeah, this from a Linux guy. I don't think any Linux guy has ever complimented Microsoft. That's huge.
Well, the thing is, Microsoft has, they've adopted Linux, right?
Yeah,
you can roll Linux up in the Azure cloud and you can run it as a Linux instance.
Yeah.
You know, within the cloud. So I think Microsoft, over time, they embrace the open source community. And actually, when you look at some of their systems now, a lot of their documentation, a lot mm-hmm. of their technet, a lot of information is kind of mirrored after the open source community.
Well, for 12 years at least, maybe 15 years, I would have to imagine you'd have to dig pretty hard to find the actual materials to educate yourself on that topic. But it seems like the last 2 years, we have just had every cybersecurity thing thrown our way.
Right.
And I'm sure it's going to continue to grow that way.
Right.
Let's hit a couple of those terms. A lot of the people listening, they may not go read the white papers on what these different topics are. But they've heard in the news just here recently stuff around crypto, around blockchain. We got critical industries defined during COVID. So now we have critical infrastructures that are being attacked. Mm-hmm. Ransomware is now ransomware as a service has already evolved into killware.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. What sort of things should we be expecting to hear about as this year ends and next year begins?
I think part of it, you know, when you think of SMBs and you think of the tactics and, you know, trying to keep the business running, part of the focus should be, and enterprises have adopted this at the enterprise level, but, you know, AI and machine learning, right, is going to be huge, you know, for the future. I think it's becoming so economical now that not only can enterprise afford this, but, you know, you have SMBs that can afford it, and you got consumer populations that can afford it. And you have some individuals that, you know, they run their lawn sprinkler system, you know, using some form of AI, some form
of their nest in their house.
Exactly.
The thermostat.
Exactly. So software defined, you know, before we used to get this big iron, you know, you go to the data center, you would see all these racks and big iron out there. Right now, you know, with AI, ML, everything's becoming software defined, right?
That's really interesting that you bring it up that way too, because it's every time a buzzword comes up, it's because enterprise seems to have adopted it, mm-hmm. but most of the SMB and mid-market space then gives it the Heisman. They put a stiff arm up and say, not for us, too expensive.
Right.
You said it's economical now. So now you can start reaching out to products that have AI embedded in them.
Right.
It's gotten to the point where you don't have to buy an AI tool. You buy a tool that's powered by something with AI or machine learning.
Exactly.
All right. Exactly. So you've used a term with us in here at Center while doing some trainings around offensive security. Explain what that means in comparison to what we're used to.
Well, offensive security, you know, essentially at the end of the day, you know, we protect systems, processes, and people against bad guys. That's what we do. So offensive security essentially is see a threat. You not only contain that threat, which we do today, but you can deploy some offensive measures, or we call countermeasures, to counter that threat. But the deal is you have to be careful on that, right? So, there's certain laws out there. You have to be careful. You don't want to go into an offensive measure and you got the wrong target, right? And also under, you know, if you look at the laws of the United States, you know, you really can't do that today, right?
Those laws are changing quick.
Oh, yeah, They're changing quick. I mean, if you look at the United States, they're doing some offensive capabilities. You know,
okay.
You look at the three-letter agencies, CIA, FBI, they're deploying countermeasures to countries that are violating our laws. But what you can do, you know, at least within SMB space, right? You can work within your own perimeter, right? You know, we got this theory that things are becoming perimeterless, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to be careful with that too, but you can detect, deploy, prevent, and you can deploy countermeasures within your own organization.
Our sales team's been pushing EDR for a while now.
Yeah. EDR is huge, man. That's, you know, almost circumventing AV solutions, right? EDR is a huge solution, and it's helping save many organizations from ransomware.
Yeah, we had a great success story just recently where an oil and gas company was uh-huh. breached the week after we implemented EDR.
Uh-huh.
And we caught it. It isolated it to a single system.
Okay.
And we snuffed it. And that CIO was able to walk right into the executive awesome. Room's board and say, like, look what we just did here.
Yeah.
That's a great way to look at it. And you know, you mentioned economical. EDR is about the cheapest for the impact you get that I've ever seen in IT.
The value proposition, you know, in IT, you always have to worry about performance, right?
Sure.
But the value proposition is these are low footprint, small footprint, mm-hmm. you know, small resource consumption,
mm-hmm.
and they sit on the endpoint of the server, right? So they can protect it, not only detect, right? A lot of folks get kind of confused, detect and prevent,
mm-hmm.
but SMBs can prevent, you know, like you mentioned, the containment.
With tools like that.
Yeah.
And they jump on board with what Center offers. They also get the program of the SOC, where
exactly.
you have eyes on the screen that you can't afford to bring in-house.
Exactly. There's
a lot of
exactly.
really cool programs out there to make sure that that's available and economical to all businesses out there.
Exactly. It's a low, you know, entry into the market for EDRs. It's perfect for SMBs today.
You mentioned another topic to me before that I think is a neat term that I'd love to share with the group.
What is that acronym you used before?
VRAs.
That's a virtual RA?
No.
What is a VRA?
No. All right. So VRAs is vendor risk assessments, right? So ideally, you always have someone trying to sell you something, right? You always have sales folks, right?
Like me.
Right. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Right. But you don't really want to go out there and purchase the bright new shiny toy without vetting it out, right? So vendor risk assessments, this can, you know, enterprises have been using it for years, but SMBs, even local government, use it as well. They assess and make sure the capabilities, the form, fit, or function of that tool set meets the needs of the organization rather than just go out and buy something. So that's really the goal with the VRA. And then you could successfully manage risk within the organization, and you could vet out the actual vendor tool set as well.
So it was a year ago this time that everyone got the news on the SolarWinds breach.
Yeah.
The term that was new to us at that time was supply chain attack.
Right.
Little sidebar. I've got a bone to pick with the media.
Mm-hmm.
With the supply chain shortages we've had, it seems like they've merged supply chain attack for a virus and supply chain issues somehow together.
Right.
But the supply chain attack, if everyone recalls, is when you download a patch from a trusted source and it turns out it's the gateway into the bad actor into your environment.
Right.
And when you say VRA and you're looking at your vendors, every single vendor you open your environment up to is potentially a risk for that, right?
Exactly.
Now, that means then if the more you have, the more risk there are that you have to. So maybe there's a consolidation that might occur.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. You know, what you want to do with the VRA, you want to look at your enterprise architecture, right? SMBs, even though they're much smaller, they still have enterprise architecture to protect, right? They need to protect the business, keep the business running. So ideally, what you would do in the VRA, you would make sure this new solution has the capabilities you're looking for, but it fits within your enterprise architecture. That's the key. Yeah, I think opening the eyes for the SolarWinds attack, I think it did a lot, not just at the enterprise level, but SMB level, to vet out those vendors that's in your environment to make sure you could either say it's a low risk, high risk, medium risk, and you can apply the right risk treatment. You know, that's the industry term for it. You can mitigate it as well.
So SolarWinds is a trusted name in that spot of the industry, right? They are the market leader when it comes to network monitoring and management. Right. A lot of people, especially those that I imagine listen to the podcast, you know, the millions of people listening.
Yep.
I bet they don't know the name SolarWinds in a lot of cases. Are there any other giant names out there that aren't Cisco, Microsoft, VMware, Dell that you might think of and say, here's a giant that I'd be shocked if it happened to them, but like SolarWinds, it happened?
Yeah, I don't want to predict, right?
I will.
You know, who would, right? Right? I'm pretty sure you have some names there. I believe the case is with the SolarWinds, I call it exfiltration because they did exfiltrate data. I think it opened up a lot of eyes, the monitoring solution out there. You got from Cisco, you got from Dell, you got from HP, you got from all these organizations out there that do hardware and software. You got Oracle, right? You got OCI, you got Google. All these enterprise solutions and vendors, they're looking at their supply chain. I say supply chain, but really it's software-defined supply chain to validate that they don't have vulnerabilities or any kind of exploits in their environment. So I think part of it, what we need to do, at least as an SMB, we need to just focus on it and making sure that the supply chain is solid as can be.
On the heels of that attack, we heard about the Kaseya attack.
Yeah.
My goodness, that hit close to home. We talked about that on the podcast before. I think it was in 2018 that Homeland Security announced that your MSP is your biggest threat because they have the keys to the kingdom of a number of people.
MSPs have been targeted for a while. You know, I know India has been that region. They have a lot of MSPs in India, right? But they've been targeted heavily. FBI posted a kind of inform out there to the public about it. But I think MSPs globally are seeing that, hey, I need to better protect my environment because my risk is high if someone gets in here and get access. But I think with the right MSP, you know, such as you have with Center, you know, that takes security first and security by default, by design, I think that's the right solution for us.
Yeah, that's a great point too. Yeah. We have kind of a guiding light of the NIST program in front of us that we aspire to meet. And then we have the SOC 2 type 2 audits that we go through. Those checks and balances, much more than that, are investments into leadership like yourself.
Right.
That separates us potentially from the Chucks and the Trucks and some of the other competitors that we have chasing our business.
I think, you know, we can build a wall very high, right? You know, there's always someone that's going to try to climb that wall. But I think the key part of it is we just want to make sure that we stay ahead of these threat actors, right? We stay ahead of the technology and we stay ahead of the software-defined era with this whole AI, ML,
right? ML, right.
So, I think if we do that, I think it better position us to protect the SMBs in the market.
Because it's not that we're unbreachable, it's just that we have measures in place limit something if it were to ever happen.
And we have capabilities to contain.
Right.
Right.
So that's the limit, correct.
You know, for someone to, if someone believes that that no event will happen, right, that's unreal, right? FBI, CIA, all these industries, they, you know, whether it's public or private, said, you know, you need to be prepared.
Guys, we're really excited to have Anthony Leatherwood with us, our CISO at Center. I felt like it was great insight into that first part. Just a reminder that this is only part one of our two-part series with Anthony, so stay tuned for the next one.